start or?
Yep.
You're used to it. Brilliant. Thank you.
Welcome to the Adonis Index podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Carl Thompson, and he came in fifth place in the open contest. If you're listening on iTunes, go over to adonisindex.com and check out his pictures. Carl's pretty lean, and you got a good shape too. So let's get going and just give me some background. You know, your history. It's kind of where we always start, like how you, what you did before finding us and how you found us.
Okay, so it's great to be here from little old Guernsey in the Channel Islands. I found Adonis Index after quite a few years, actually, looking through on the web, hunting around, trying to find something which was, you know, could actually help me to build some muscle. Actually, coming from an endurance background, it was, you know, my friends were turning around to me and saying, you know, I'm starting to look pretty skinny and, you know, be good to build some muscle. So I went on the web and I was looking around and I found a few different programs. I mean, I found a local gym. Myself and my wife went to the local gym and tried a few programs out. There was changes, but the changes were a bit different from what I thought, because the actual programs were, the program I found was a traditional, almost like a powerlifting. Mm. So it was squats, and each week was very progressive. So it'd get heavier and heavier and heavier each week, squats and bench.
Very, very specific to like the amount of weight lifted, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The only thing which I really noticed, my body was changing. I couldn't fit into my jeans anymore on my legs. My quads.
Oh, so they're getting, your legs are growing for sure.
My legs went up to, I mean, I'm only very light. I'm only about, at the moment, about under 140. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was about 154, which is about 11 stone, 70 kilo. Mm-hmm. And my legs.
How tall are you?
I'm only 5'4".
And how old are you? We might as well get all that out of the way.
47.
Oh, okay, sure.
47. Yeah. My actual thighs went up to, I think it was 24 inches.
Oh, that's big. That's big.
You know, I'm only 5'4", and I couldn't get in any.
That's like how big mine are, and I'm like taller. So yeah.
It's crazy. I couldn't actually get any jeans, so I went online to see if I could get jeans made for me.
Hey, Carl, can you just pause for a sec? Are you, like, playing with something or snapping? What's that noise?
Oh, sorry. I apologize. Yeah, yeah. No, I was leaning on my computer, and the wood was creaking.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. That's coming through pretty loud, so
I stopped.
Okay, yeah, okay, so you're looking around for jeans.
Yeah, and in the end, I went on the internet and started looking at made to measure for around the quads. And I thought, this is crazy. You know, I can't do this. I got a job to run now. I got a job to do other disciplines. And so I started looking around the internet to look for different programs. And then I came across the Adonis Index. So I started looking at the Adonis Index. It took me a little bit of time to actually take a challenge to actually go and buy it. Mm-hmm. I got my wife to have a look as well. You know, both of us went through and looked at it, and we thought, yeah, this sounds really good. And it was dumbbell based, so it's very easy to use. Where doing the other exercises, the squats, the bench, and the deadlifts were very difficult at the gym that we were using, mainly because if I didn't get to the gym early, I would have no chance of actually getting on any of the machines.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a problem sometimes, like how busy gyms get.
Oh, it's crazy. Mm. So I started working out with the Adonis Index, and I started on the 3.0. Mm-hmm. And fantastic. It was really, really good. I mean, using the muscle endurance first, or strength is it muscle endurance?
Well, yeah, it's basically strength endurance, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, the strength endurance was fantastic. I found, for me, coming from an endurance background, it worked really, really well.
Oh, yeah, because you'd probably respond immediately to that module more than anything.
It was absolutely fantastic. It really, really was. And then moving from there to the hypertrophy, I found, because I had obviously developed a bit more muscle from using the endurance, it played on well using the hypertrophy.
Mm-hmm. So the progression worked for you?
Oh, fantastically. And straight away, I could actually see a difference in my physique. My legs were going down. Within sort of like a month and a half, my whole body shape was changing.
Mm. Well, it's good. That's the kind of the point, right?
It is, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Powerlifting works. It's just you got to know if that's what you want. Like, kind of like, do you want a big, huge set of legs and kind of a big butt? Like, if that's what you want, powerlifting will get that if you stick to a traditional powerlifting program. Like, we throw in some of the power lifts in some of our programs, but it's not 100% powerlifting all the time.
No.
So, they're useful. They're it's just not everything. They can't be everything.
I do understand. At the age of 14, I was actually in a Guernsey powerlifting club.
Oh, okay.
And I was looking back today, and I can't believe I still got a record from age 14, two of them. At 14, I don't know if it's too young to be lifting this weight, but I squatted 396 pounds.
At 14?
At 14, and it's still down as a record. I was using a super suit and wraps, I'd done a 200 kilo deadlift at the same age.
Yeah, that's impressive at that age, yeah.
Well, when I was actually looking back, I could not believe it. But I was heavier as well. My build was quite – it was a different build when I was at school.
Man, that's a lot for that age.
I
didn't even know people that age would lift.
Well, it was a youth club. It was quite an old-fashioned youth club.
How long – do you even remember how long it took you to get to that strength?
I was always strong at school when we used to do any sort of lifts at school, and like, I was never good at endurance at school or aerobically, but I was always very strong. I think being very short and very squat.
Oh yeah, you're built, yeah, your genetic stature is built for...
Yeah, it's not my legs and my calves, and you know, I've never really ever trained my calves, and my calves are just... You know, everyone says, you must work your calves out all the time. And I just don't, I don't do the calves. I mean, I actually went on to the community and asked a few people. I know I shouldn't have done this about missing out the calves.
Yeah.
I did working on my chest a bit more. So I actually substituted some days when the calves were there to do some chest exercises. And it seemed to work really well.
Oh yeah, that's fine. I mean,
yeah.
And calves are genetic. Some people, like Howard, you know, he sounds like you're the same as him. If you have genetically gifted big calves, just don't ever train them. There's no reason to.
Oh, my calves, though, I mean, everyone says, oh, you're like a bodybuilder, you know, in the calves. They're just huge for someone my size.
Yeah. It's just genetic. Some people have them, and there's no explaining it. You just are born with them.
Yeah.
And then some people are on that side, some people are sort of average, and then some people have to work like hell just to get them looking average. And that's
exactly
that's the one odd muscle that just is different. It's kind of the reason I don't necessarily. I mean, we have the calf. I mean, Greg just built the calf booster.
That's exciting, yeah.
Yeah, it's the one you'll never need it. It's the one reason calves is a bit of an anomaly as far as when people ask about training it.
Yeah.
For some people, the answer is train them every single day. You just train like high reps, low reps, everything, right?
Everything, yeah.
They're not necessarily going to respond the same as every other muscle group because they have a different composition of muscle fibers. They seem to respond to endurance more than they'll respond to in general, more than they'll necessarily respond to heavy weights the way every other muscle group does. So they kind of. And they can handle a beating every single day, whereas other muscle groups just need time off. Calves can just take it every day. So they're just different. They just, you know, And it's weird. Like, could you imagine if your entire body was as heavily muscled as your calves were? You know, you'd look like a freak. So it's weird that that one muscle group can come out so developed.
It is amazing.
Without doing anything, but the rest, you know what I mean? Like, how big would your arms be if you were just genetically as big as your calves? You know, you'd be a bodybuilder all over, right?
Quite impressive.
So, yeah, so it's just a weird muscle group. There's no other way of explaining
it. It is quite impressive, though. You know, if I've gone out places, and because I used to do a lot of duathlon, and I used to go away to a lot of quite big races, racing triathlon and duathlon, and every time I'd go, people would say, wow, look at his calves. Or, you know, I've got people taking shots of the race, and I was coming over the line, and one guy took a shot of my lower part of my legs instead of taking a shot at the, you know, the finishing shot.
All of you, they just took a picture of you knee down.
We went climbing last year in Austria, and as we were climbing up one of the mountains, there was a guy at the top, and we could actually hear him. He had his binoculars, and he was looking down, and the first thing he said, and the guy I was with climbing started laughing, he was on about the size of my calves. Because we were doing via ferrata climbing, which is done with cables, so you actually use your body weight to lift yourself up. And as I was coming up, you use your legs a lot as well. And so my legs were really on flex when we were actually going up. And the first comment he was making, wow, look at that guy's calves. And we were actually still quite, you know, a few meters down from where he was.
Hmm. And it was Yeah, people notice when something's like that developed, people will notice.
I said, the rest of my body, from being from an endurance background, the muscles seem to have just disappeared.
Well, that's something people I don't think realize. If you do a lot of endurance training, the body will compensate by making the muscles smaller.
Yeah.
To make them more efficient.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually to deliver more blood to the to be able to deliver oxygen, well, not even blood, but technically oxygen to the working muscle more efficiently, and to move less mass around, the body's reaction is like, we don't need to be as big. The muscles don't need to be as big or heavy. They just need to be highly efficient. So endurance training, like a lot of endurance training, will technically atrophy muscle. Now, it can grow back if you just switch the style of training, but your body becomes its function. And I mean, I'm not sure if people actually understand that endurance training. When you see an endurance athlete and they seem thin and gaunt, so to speak, that's not because they were naturally that way per se. It's because you can train into that shape.
Okay.
And I don't know if people understand that. All right, so you work on the you right when you started our systems, was that just recently with the contest, or did you start before?
I started in July, is when I actually bought.
Last year?
Yeah, last year I bought the program.
Okay.
And I started, like I said, with the 3.0, and I went right the way through with the rages, which were brilliant, absolutely amazing, the rage. And as soon as I finished it, I sort of started again for the competition. Well, I didn't actually finish the whole 3.0. I just wanted to start it at the beginning for the competition. I was going to use the IXP, and I tried it a couple of times over the holiday, and I actually found the IXP was a little too much for me because I had a lot of work on at the time, and I found it was a little bit too stressful with entering the competition and diet and everything together. So I thought I would start with the 3.0, which was a bit more comfortable to handle.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, exactly. If it's not, it is more intense, so if you're not ready for it, then there's no, you don't have to do it.
I will do it. I mean, I will do the IXP, but at the moment, I'm really enjoying the 3.0, the rages, and it's nice every so often to put in a booster.
Well, that's why it's designed that, right? The whole Lego block approach, to just add what you want, take away what you don't want.
Great system.
Mm-hmm. So now, as far as dieting, did you do anything special there? Or?
Well, I'll tell you what I did. But after I bought the Adonis Index, the 3.0 system, and then I got the immersion as well, which is fantastic, I bought Eat, Stop, Eat. which I started using, but from about 2009, I had already been fasting. I'd sort of done fasting once a week with my wife. So I wasn't new to fasting, and the longest I'd ever really done was like a 36-hour fast. So I normally put in maybe a fast once every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I went on the community, and people were talking about your AGD. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually buy the book, and I am going to treat myself to the book. But I was listening to a lot of people, what they were saying about it, and I sort of got the principle from there. I'd never counted calories before, so I went through a couple of days, like you said in some of your podcasts, and actually monitored the calories I was eating, and it helped just to give me an idea roughly how many calories now are in each form of meal. And I do probably like a lot of people and say it's like 500-600 calories per block, and that seems to work really well.
And then you just spend a little bit of time getting an idea. That's all it really is eyeballing it. Is measuring the first couple times, and then after that you just get to the point where you can eyeball it, and then you're good.
Yeah. And even since the competition, I had a little bit of a niggle in my arm, so I haven't been able to do the normal training. So I've been watching my diet a bit more. And since I was watching my diet, you know, I've been able to hold almost the same shape as what I was actually on the day of the photos. I have upped my cardio a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I've been going out doing walks and, you know, other type of cardio, and using a resistance band as well. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are you happy with your final look? Or at least the look you got to in the competition?
I was really pleased. I mean, for 12 weeks, I mean, how it actually came out. I had such amazing, amazing feedback from people at the gym which I was using. I've never had people come up to me in any training I've ever done. And I went to the gym on one day. I was just finishing hypertrophy, and I had the gym instructor, the actual gym manager, come up to me and ask me what I was doing. And it was amazing. So I actually gave him the Adonis Index website, which the next day he told me he'd already bought the first section, and this was the boss of the gym. I had two other people asking me questions while I was walking out the gym as well, who had been watching me for a few weeks. Fantastic.
That's good. I mean, it's lead by example, right? You don't have to say anything.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So it was basically a positive experience the whole way. Did you have anybody like pushing back on you,
Hugely as well. I mean, mainly at work, I've had a couple of guys which have noticed how I've changed in shape. Mm. And they almost, to this day, they almost ignore me. And where before they would always speak to me, they actually feel, I've sort of gained something on them. And it seems to be a lot of jealousy. My wife reckons it's down to jealousy. Every time they see me
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think people are such narcissists. They think somehow they translate you trying to improve your body into a slight against them, or like you're doing it to spite them. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like people
exactly.
Just internal. They're like this. They're somehow your workout is about me. Like, how much of a narcissist do you have to be to think that way?
Exactly.
Like maybe Carl just wants to get in shape for himself, and he doesn't actually care what you guys are doing.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. That happens a lot. Like, people take that one personally. It's almost like you're insulting them. This just keeps happening, and I don't get why people can't be supportive of each other. I guess, I don't know. It must be an insecurity thing, where people can't, or it's not uncommon for people to have a hard time, being, sort of, being able to be, say, good for you, like without it affecting them. Like they can't be, they can't enjoy it for with you. Like it's somehow about them.
Exactly.
I'm kind of tripping over my words here, but you see what I'm, going with that. It's that, that's kind of, it happens a lot. Like, I mean, if you've listened to the other podcasts, it happens like constantly.
Well, I remember listening to, Andrew Peters, the young guy, and I felt very sorry for him, but I felt in the same predicament where he was actually getting almost kept away from the home gym he was using because, I think it was his, sister's boyfriend was a friend of his was getting very jealous how Andy was changing, and in the end he couldn't use the gym.
Yeah, it's so, kind of ridiculous that people would be that way. It's the crabs in the bucket, right? If you're progressing past them, they'd rather pull you down to make themselves feel better than instead of follow your lead.
Exactly. I'll tell you what I have noticed, an amazing change. Before, when I was doing all my racing, I mean, over the years, I've sort of raced for Great Britain, race walking, I've done triple marathons in one day, I've done, you know, lots and lots of different, I've cycled 1,000 miles in a week. And
so endurance, high endurance.
Yeah, high endurance. And the actual big thing I've noticed, I mean, I was actually training roughly 13 hours a week, and I was always shattered. Always shattered. Every time I got home, I had no energy to do anything else. Where now, my average workout is like 45, 50 minutes, maybe an hour maximum. I train first thing in the morning now, which I never used to be able to do. So I train before work. So I train. I'm up at 6, have a coffee, go to the gym. I'm back to work by 8 o'clock. I can do what I want the rest of the day. And my total training week, even if I did the boosters, might be like 5 hours a week, which is absolutely unreal. From when I was doing 13 hours, my body was looking, you know, it was looking skinny and drawn, and you know, I had no energy. My moods weren't very good. I just felt very low, no energy.
Did you ever kind of, well, so now looking back, you're noticing the difference, but at the time, did you ever think you were overtraining?
When I was doing all the endurance.
Yeah, did you ever consider, like, maybe this is just flat out too much for me?
At the time, it was very difficult to feel like that, because it wasn't just me competing, it was my wife who was putting the same amount of hours in as me.
No,
so on some days, if we were training, both of us were training for like an Ironman. We went to Ironman Austria. So both of us were putting in crazy hours. And some days we'd actually be out for between 6 and 8 hours training. I mean, it was the whole day. I mean, we almost wanted to put in a whole Ironman distance in a day, just to see what it felt like. And I can remember coming home, running the bath. I would go in the bath. I'd help my wife in the door and literally lift her into the bath. You know, it was no way of life compared with what we both have now, where I do the Adonis, she uses the Venus, and everything's changed. We got a life at last.
Yeah, so you've come back from that extreme. So you say you still do a little bit of endurance stuff, but nowhere near as much anymore.
Well, I was actually, I was going to give myself a bit of a target. I was going to see, for my 50th, to see maybe if I could get a podium finish in the World Track Championships, race walking. But, I mean, the distance I would be picking would be a short distance. So it would be probably a maximum of like 5 kilometers on the track. 5,000 meters. So I thought,
sure, that's not ultra endurance at all. That's totally managed.
So I could, I mean, what I'm actually doing at the moment, tomorrow morning I go out and I do a brisk walk, which is about, it is quite a long one, it's about 16 kilometers, but I mean, I walk pretty quick. I walk at 8 minute miling. So it's,
oh, wow, that's fast.
You know, I mean, I was in the British Championships when I used to walk, I was number 2, and I used over 20 kilometers, I would average about 740 miling. So it is pretty quick.
Yeah, well, I guess yeah, that's a good goal. And why don't you also make the goal to do that while you have an Adonis physique?
Yes, I mean, this is what I've noticed now. When I come back from my walk, because the actual walk uses a lot of the oblique muscles, mm-hmm. and where before I wasn't very lean when I was walking, and I get home and I always had a bit of a tummy, where I come back from my walk now, take my shirt off, my wife says, wow, look at those abs, because they're even more taut after a while, you know, I come back from a 2-hour walk.
Sure, for sure. So, I mean, I guess part of the lesson here is you can do endurance and weights and still end up with the body you kind of want.
Definitely, definitely.
And you don't need to be so extreme. Now, one thing that, like you said, you really responded, the endurance training does help with oxygenation of the muscle and the blood and all of that, like capillary density. So cardio does help, like having your cardio base is part of why you're responding so well too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for anybody who doesn't have your cardio base, they should, you know, I'm just kind of, this is a bit of an instructional, cardio can help. There's obviously room for it, and I mean, part of the way the workouts are designed is to create some cardio response anyways, and that's why we have things like the strength endurance modules to like build that up for people. But there's a rhyme and reason for all of it, and it's the difference between being straight powerlifting and never doing anything versus ultra endurance, which is like you've done both. It's kind of interesting. You have a history of doing both, and then we're trying to find the balance in the middle.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what happened as well. I mean, each time I go to the gym to do the Adonis workouts, what I do is, before every workout, I've got some little band, resistance bands at home. Because I work at a college, I look after a big college, you might call it over in America a janitor, or a caretaker we call it in Britain. Mm-hmm. So I look after a college. So what I always did was I used to run around the college, have my coffee in the morning, mm-hmm. run around the college in the morning, which takes about 10 minutes, it's quite a big old college, come back upstairs, use my resistance band just to warm my muscles up, to do a similar warm-up to what you recommend in the AI, mm-hmm. then run to the gym, which was 10 minutes, then do my workout, and then plug back, which was like 5 minutes. So I probably was putting in 15 to 20 minutes cardio every time I did an AI workout. So if I was doing 5 workouts, you know, including the 2 boosters, mm-hmm. I was fitting a fair amount of cardio in each time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's not unrealistic. I mean, that's totally, that means that that's not much. I mean, that's good to, it's not, that's not excessive, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
No. Yeah. But as soon as I finished the competition, I tried an experiment. I went out and I actually ran a course which I used to run when I was in very good aerobic shape. And I did it pretty hard just to see what shape I was in. And I actually came back with a 2-minute personal best. And it just shows you, without doing all the cardio, all I've been doing was my 10-minute run to the gym, mm-hmm. and my workouts, and I knocked 2 minutes off.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're aware that a stronger muscle is going to perform better even in endurance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess you just proved that to yourself.
Yeah.
I put a few runners on programs, and they're surprised that the strength actually – they're like, man, that run was easier. I'm like, well, of course it is. Like a stronger muscle takes longer to – yeah, and it takes longer to fatigue a stronger muscle. I just don't get why they'd never piece it together.
It's true. If a lot of the endurance athletes were to work on a program similar to use the Adonis Index program, their performance would improve and their body would look better and they would look healthier.
They'd cross the finish line sooner and look better.
Exactly.
And probably be healthier.
Yeah exactly.
All right, so let's – all right, well, moving on then. So the contest went well. We've learned a lot about the I think this is going to be an instructional about combining these workouts with endurance,
very,
and that it's
possible,
and how that fits. So what are your goals? Okay, so we've already gone over your goals now. So what what's your advice to people based on your experience through all of this? I don't know. Just give us your advice.
Advice is definitely stick to the programs, to the word. Because actually done a few changes. The only change I mainly did was change my calves, because I just don't need to work my calves. But the rest of the program is formulated so well with your 13s and your 21s and going through. Don't ever change it. And it makes your life so much easier. If you go to the gym, you've got a card. I used to put them on laminated cards. Take that to the gym, put it down in front of you, crack through your session, you're finished, and you don't have to overstress your brain about thinking, what should I be doing, or adding pieces on. Stick to the word.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say to that. That sort of seems to be the recurring theme for people who do well in the contest or get good results. Right. And just don't overthink.
I do regret that I didn't use the community so much in the beginning, because you can find out so much from the community. I've listened to some really, really amazing podcast as well from, is it Weaver? I mean, that was amazing. I know the guy, 60, still ripped. Yep. And I've had lots of help from Sean. Is it Sean? Actually, it was quite funny because I'd never ever used the tanning bed before. And it was Sean who said, try using the tanning bed. So I went along to have a go at a tanning bed, and you know, it came out really well. And so I picked up a lot of good tips from the community, and it definitely gives you a boost. A few times I felt pretty low, you know, when I was trying to cut back on my diet a little bit, and I was starting to feel a bit, you know, under the weather or a bit low, and going on the community definitely helps.
Well, yeah, and it's not everyone's the type of person to want to use it, but if it's a sort of, I mean, it's worth going in there. It seems
definitely. And I'll tell you one thing, what was really nice to use was, because I'm one of the immersion members now, which is really great, I got your reverse taper diet, which was fantastic. As soon as I put the reverse taper my size and shoulders and circumferences in there, it came up with the calories. It was quite a boost, because it was actually more calories than what I thought I could actually use or actually take in. And it really gave me a bit of a boost for the last few weeks of the competition. It really, really helped.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. Yeah, it seems to be more or less on target. Now that more and more people are using it, it's starting to be, we're starting to refine our thoughts on it, and I think it's pretty much on target from what we've heard for everybody. The only other thing is some people are actually surprised how much they could eat with it. They're like, "You sure?" And I'm like, "Yeah." I mean, it's just a patience
thing. Well, I'm still trying to use it now. Even though I finished the competition, I'm still sticking to that amount of calories. I'm not sure if what you say maintenance, if that is similar to the reverse taper for me. Now I'm at my, or just above my golden ratio.
What would you mean?
Maintenance?
Yeah.
Be,
no. Yeah. It just.
Yes.
Oh, what the number the reverse taper is giving you? Yeah. More or less. Yeah. I mean, obviously you got to experiment with it, but if you eat that number, if you eat at the number, if you eat at the number it's giving you, if given that you're at your golden numbers, then yeah, it shouldn't give you a number to really, to lose much more fat, so to speak. Basically, the number it's going to give you, if you want to lose eating at the final number there, it would be just more cardio.
That's all.
So, yeah, I mean, the point of it is when you get all the way to being close to or at golden numbers, there's not that much further to go, if anything. So it's not going to give you a deficit number. It's going to give you a maintenance number. And then at that point, the theory is eat up to that number and then add in more exercise to create a small deficit. And then that should happen over time. The point is,
I found the actual, the last week as well, I actually tried a water load. It was definitely an interesting thing to actually try out. I've never sort of put in that amount of fluid before. I was actually going up to 10 liters, which for me was unreal. Either I was going to the toilet all night, but on the last day when I did my photographs, I was amazed. The abdominal wall, how well it looked. I didn't even really cut back on the fluid. I just kept on drinking pretty much right the way through.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You just got to test for yourself. It's not necessarily going to be the same as how somebody else does it. And if it works for you, then just roll with it. All right. Well, I mean, I think this is a good place to leave it, unless you have any final words.
I'd just like to wish everyone the best out there. And there were some amazing transformations and in the open and the open too. Everyone did amazingly. Very well done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This was, I think, the best one yet. All right. So, well, congratulations on placing, and look forward to seeing you in the communities moving forward. So for Carl Thompson, I'm John Barbin, and that's your